Chapter 5. Will a blackmailer turn to murder? Mr. Hyde shrank back with a hissing intake of breath. But his fear was only temporary, for he answered coolly, "That is my name. What do you want?" He kept his head turned from the lawyer, though his eyes darted over Utterson's face in a sideways glance.
"I saw you were about to enter," answered Utterson.
"I am an old friend of Dr. Jekyll, Gabriel John Utterson, the lawyer. I'm sure he has spoken of me. I am about to visit the doctor, and I thought that you might admit me."
"Dr. Jekyll is not at home."
"How did you know me?" Hyde asked, still looking away.
"Let us exchange favors," Utterson suggested. "I will answer you if you will let me see your face."
Mr. Hyde hesitated. Then he turned and faced Utterson with an air of defiance. The two men stared at each other for several seconds before Utterson spoke.
"Now I shall know you again," he said. "It may be useful."
"Yes," agreed Hyde. "It is well that we have met. Also, you should have my address." He named a street and number in Soho.
"Good God," thought Utterson. "Has he, too, been thinking about the will?"
But Utterson said nothing, merely nodding his head to indicate that he heard the address.
"Now," said Hyde, "how did you know me?"
"A description from common friends."
"Common friends?"
echoed Hyde, a little hoarsely.
"Who are they?"
"Jekyll, for instance," said Utterson.
"He never told you,"
cried Hyde with a flush of anger. "I did not expect that you would lie to me."
"Oh, now see here, that is not fitting language," said the lawyer mildly.
Hyde snarled aloud, a snarl that turned into a savage laugh. The next moment, with extraordinary quickness, he unlocked the door and disappeared into the house. Mr. Utterson stood a while where Hyde had left him, the picture of confusion and dissatisfaction. Then he turned and walked slowly up the street, his mind going over the scene again. Hyde was pale and dwarfish. He gave the impression of being deformed, yet his body did not have a specific defect. His smile was unpleasant, and his manner was disturbing, for he managed to be both timid and bold at the same time. The final point against him was his husky whispering and somewhat broken voice. But these objections did not account for the loathing and fear Utterson felt for Hyde.
"He is Satan himself," Utterson cried to the knight. "And this is the man Henry Jekyll has chosen to be his friend and heir."
Around the corner, Mr. Utterson entered a square of handsome old houses. Most were now shabby and broken up into small units, leased to anyone able to afford the low rent. However, one house, the second from the corner, was still occupied by one owner only. It had an air of wealth and comfort about it. Though only a hall light showed, Mr. Utterson knocked at its door. A well-dressed, stern-faced servant answered.
"Good evening, Poole," said the lawyer. "Is Dr. Jekyll at home?"
"I will see, Mr. Utterson," said Poole, opening the door wider so the lawyer could enter the large hall.
It was furnished with finely carved oak cabinets standing on a thick, dark red rug.
"Will you wait here by the fire, sir? Or shall I give you a light in the dining room?"
asked Poole, motioning toward the large, brightly burning fireplace.
"Here, thank you," said the lawyer.
Utterson warmed himself by the fire until Poole returned with the announcement that Dr. Jekyll had gone out. Utterson sighed with relief at the butler's words, then felt ashamed of himself. Casually, he said,
"I saw Mr. Hyde go into the house by the old dissecting room door, Poole. Does Dr. Jekyll allow that when he is not at home?"
"Yes, it's quite all right, sir," answered Poole. "Mr. Hyde has a key."
"Your master seems to trust that young man a great deal," continued the lawyer, making his comment almost a question.
"Yes, indeed, sir," replied Poole. "We all have orders to obey him."
Mr. Utterson turned to the door, then said, as if in afterthought, "I don't remember meeting Mr. Hyde here at any of Dr. Jekyll's excellent dinners." Poole was shocked.
"Oh, no, sir. He never dines here. Indeed, we see little of him on this side of the house, in the living quarters. He mostly comes and goes by the laboratory."
"I see. Well, good night, Poole."
"Good night, Mr. Utterson."
The lawyer walked home with a very heavy heart. "Poor Henry Jekyll," he thought. "I fear he is deeply involved with something wicked. It's true he was a wild young man during our college days, but that was so many years ago. Any sins he committed then should have been long forgiven and forgotten. But now, someone seems to have dug up some secret, and I fear is blackmailing him." As Utterson reflected, it occurred to him that Hyde, himself, looked as if he had many old and new secret sins to conceal also, though he was actually a young man. One sin, at least, Utterson knew about from his cousin Richard. Blackmail. But he feared an even worse crime was being planned. Murder. "There is great danger for Jekyll," thought Utterson. "For if that creature Hyde suspects the existence of Jekyll's leaving him everything, he may be so impatient to inherit it, he would hasten Jekyll's death." Utterson entered his own door with a new determination. He would see Henry Jekyll. He would not let a calamity like this befall one of his oldest friends while he sat by doing nothing. No, he would insist on helping Jekyll out of whatever trouble he was in. And together, he and Jekyll would break the hold Hyde had over the doctor.